This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's not so bad with the shaking of the tuckers.
Now, from the new normal studios in Burbank.
I'm ready for sex.
Tom Likas. Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the new normal studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear us on our brand new free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again with a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us in studio for this bonus hour to answer your legal questions for free, here he is, family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, welcome.
Hey, Tom, great to be here.
What's going on?
Well, tonight I've got someone who basically broke every single rule there is to break, Tom.
Oh, my.
Since we're talking about family law, and it is the pre-Christmas season, and we did talk a couple of weeks ago about how a lot of times women are going to kind of wait till after the holidays to file the divorce. And as you know, women file most divorces. This is a whole period of time now, however, leading up to Christmas and including Christmas and New Year's, where they go restraining order crazy. A lot of people get in fights now. There's a lot of family stuff going on. A lot of people that, you know, don't really like each other all that much, and a lot of stuff gets uninhibited, I think, by people getting drunk and people flipping out a little bit for the holidays. And one of the experiences you'll see is that people become kind of less inclined to hold it in and more likely to let it slide and start freaking out on each other. And the courts are getting, you know, a higher and higher volume of restraining orders. Our guest tonight is one of my clients who recently had a restraining order issued against him. He broke a lot of your rules, Tom.
Uh-oh.
You're going to be...
Now
you're really going to be impressed. He did them all. Well, maybe not all, but he's going to tell you himself. But he got involved with a single mother. And,
strike one.
And she had several kids, and he tried to be nice to the kids, and I think he really liked the kids, actually. And he was with her for a long time, and he did a lot of nice things for her. And when it all came down, she didn't care at all. She flipped the switch, decided she hated him, and filed a restraining order against him. As you know, and people have to remember this, the restraining order, very often the first hearing is what they call ex parte, which means that you don't even know about it. And the restraining order was issued because she came up with this very very bad sounding story. Women tell the story and they try to make it sound as bad as they can. So
oh my.
He got on the wrong side of that, and then he hired me, and we turned the whole thing around in a way that will be absolutely amazing when you hear it. So do we have him?
We have him, and we're going to call him, for the purposes of the show, Tony.
Tony, okay. Tony, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hey, Tom, how's it going? Hey, Adam.
Hey. All right.
So I gave you a brief intro, Tony, but I really want you to tell the story, and this is, your story illustrates so many of the things that we talk about, and it even has a good ending, so I think that's worth sharing, and I really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, no problem. All right, so basically, Tom and Adam, what went on is that I dated this individual for over 7 years.
7 years.
Back in 08. That was around 26 years old at the time. And, you know, we had a very tumultuous relationship, you know, breaking up, getting back together, breaking up, getting back together. You know, crazy times and good times, right? So, you know, as the years go on, you know, it doesn't get any better, obviously. you know, when there are issues in the beginning, there's going to be issues right up to the very end.
Now, hold on. And, now, she was a single mother. Come on. You gotta keep the details
right
here.
That's right.
Now, by the way, isn't that what we always tell you?
That's right. That's right.
But you knew more than the professor. You knew more than the professor.
And
you were smarter than me.
No, but you were with
no,
us.
I don't think I was.
You were with it for like...
I wasn't smarter than you. Just go ahead.
You were with it for 7 years. So,
right.
I mean, you knew you really saw the kids grow up.
Oh, yeah, I did. I really did.
And you,
like,
and you played dad with them, really.
Basically, yeah. Basically.
And you know, Tony, the danger of that is that she can turn around and sue you for child support.
Exactly.
Can you imagine?
Exactly. Now, Adam, I'm going to add one thing here regarding that, which I don't think I've mentioned to you or not, but this happened many, many years ago, and at the same court that you and I went to on the 30th, I actually implored her to go for child support so that at least, you know, I'm not saying that I'm perfect, and it wasn't perfect to even date a single mother. At least I protected myself on that end. She filed that maybe around 5 years ago. So she, good thing she wasn't able to get me for that. But
wow.
God knows, you know, if I didn't do that, God knows what would have happened. So, yeah, Tom, basically, single mother, single mother doing her thing, obviously, you know, supposedly the empowered, independent woman, which we all know is a fallacy, dated her for several years, you know, ex-husband's a deadbeat, of course.
Oh, by the way, that's critical, of course. So she's getting no support from the ex-husband, right?
No support. I think she's probably getting like $200 a month because he has a dead-end job or a part-time job or a seasonal job. So, you know, that's not going nowhere. So basically what happened was that, you know, as the years went by and I saw these children grow, you know, I, of course, as any human will, that as any guy, you know, if you have a heart, you know, you'll start caring for people around you, right, whether they're friends, family, whoever that might be. And, of course, I cared for her and I cared for the kids. You know, I provided for the kids. I would babysit the kids when she was at work. I would pick them up when she would ask me, you know, from school.
Is that what I recommended you do, by the way? I'm just curious.
Of course not. Yeah, you said the opposite, to do the opposite of that.
What made you think I didn't know what I was talking about?
You know what? I can't say. I mean, I knew you were right. You know, deep down I knew you were right, but I still kept playing this stupid game that many, many men play throughout, you know, L.A. and throughout California, throughout the United States, unfortunately.
Now, tell about the refrigerator. You bought her a refrigerator.
Right.
Tom, this is the best.
Yeah, so this is insane, Tom. This is a true story, right? So her refrigerator had broken down. This probably happened around a year and a half ago. And mind you, that refrigerator that broke down, I actually gave that refrigerator to her as a gift when I moved out of my house. So her refrigerator had broken down, you know, typical soft story. I can't afford it. I don't know what to do. You know, buying ice for coolers to feed her children and to feed herself. And the sucker that I was, pulling at all my heartstrings, of course. What do? I go to Howard's and I order her a brand new refrigerator. She doesn't even have to pick it up to go and deliver it.
You're
true story.
You
Captain Save-A-Ho.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, true story.
And you could not see heading for the wall here?
The cliff.
You know what, Tom? I did. I honestly, I'll say one thing. I knew I was heading for the wall. I just didn't know exactly when I would reach it. And unfortunately, I did reach it. And, you know, Adam was there for me, but... But, you know, again, it's the stupidity that men play, you know, this stupid, stupid game with women, you know, that we continue, they bait us and we continue to move forward when we even know, you know, when we know we're coming to the lion's mouth, we still continue forward for some stupid reason. But that's what I did, unfortunately, and it is unfortunate, but that is the truth. And so, you know, I bought her a fridge and I'm thinking everything's hunky-dory, you know, she's going to appreciate it. Of course not. She doesn't appreciate it, doesn't care. You know, starts complaining. It's the same cycle where she's, you know, acquiesced for a minute, she's happy, and then as the days and the weeks drag along, she finds something else to fight about, something else to bitch about, unfortunately. And that was one aspect of it. So, you know, what happened was that in September, Tom, I had finally had it with her. I mean, truly, I had truly had it with her. So
it seems like it took a very long time for you to have had it.
Yeah, it took a very long time. It took seven years, but exactly. I finally have had it. I sent her an email and I said, you know, I had it with you. I don't want nothing to do with you. This is truly the end. And I really meant it, you know. So I didn't hear nothing back from her. Zero. So I didn't contact her. So then September rolled along and then October rolled along and I'm thinking, I'm finally out of this. You know, this is it. Well, comes to happen that in mid-October, there's a knock on my door, you know, and it's the sheriff's department. And right away, Tom, I knew what this was. I just knew it in my heart. And, of course, it was a TRO, you know, temporary restraining order filed against me. And, of course, I was floored. I was scared. You know, I was thinking, you know, what's going to happen? I'm going to have this scarlet letter over my head for the rest of my life, you know. I'm done for.
You see, a woman can't just break up with you, you know. She has to really, really rub your face in shit. It's amazing.
And that's so true. You know, that's exactly what she did, because she waited for me maybe to call her back, maybe to try to reconcile. And as the weeks rolled along, she realized that wasn't going to happen. She's like, well, I'm really going to stick it to him this time, you know. And
this is something that could also have hurt your job, right? This could have been something that's damaging in a lot of ways. And by the time you were served with it, it was already issued.
Oh, yeah, it was already issued. I mean, it was done. It was that, like what Adam says, ex parte. So, Tom, I travel a lot, right? I travel a lot, and I was up actually, you know, when I got that, I had just come back from the Central Coast, from Paso Robles area. And, you know, I had just come into my house, and I got served with this, and, you know, it just came out of left field. You know, it just came out of left field. And what happened was that, I'm sorry, Tom, I'm getting a call, but I'm not going to pick it up. So, of course, you know, I was scared. I picked up the paperwork, you know, the sheriff served me with the paperwork. And, you know, I couldn't believe it. I just could not believe that she would stoop so low to try to hurt me. And may I add, Adam and Tom, that at least I can say that I never married this person. I never moved in with her. She would ask me, you know, to move in with her. I never would, you know.
Yeah, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. So, you know, I never moved in with her. I never had children with her. But she couldn't get, you know, child support from me. She couldn't get alimony from me. But what she could get, of course, was some sort of money out of me, right? You know, by me going to the route that I went with Adam, you know, by hiring proper counsel to protect myself. So, you know, and that's what happened. So, of course, like I said, I contacted Adam. I was extremely scared. I was thinking, you know, my life is over. You know, someone's going to run my record, and they're going to see this fallacy on my being, and it's going to ruin me, you know. So I contacted him. You know, he was very helpful. I emailed him the paperwork, faxed him some paperwork, and he basically said that he would be able to help me out with this issue. You know, the first thing that Adam did was that he filed a continuance, which basically delays the court proceeding for a month or so. And, you know, I was very fidgety. I was probably annoying Adam a little bit, you know, trying to contact him, trying to get this over with as soon as possible. But he said, you know, to just be calm. You know, I had him as counsel, and that she would sweat it out. You know,
let me understand. I want to gather my wits about here. Let me understand. You didn't live with her. You didn't marry her. You didn't have kids with her. So besides a temporary restraining order, what else is going on here?
That was it. That was it, Tom. I mean, of course, you know, like I said, we had a very crazy relationship. We would call each other, email each other. I would go to her house. She would come to my house. You know, she would call me on my work phone, on my cell phone, and I would do the same. So this became a pattern throughout the years, you know, that it was endemic to us. It wasn't something crazy. It wasn't seen out of the ordinary between us. Of course, if you're looking from the outside in, it seems insane, you know, showing up in the middle of the night, or she's showing up in the middle of the night. You know, we're exchanging arguments, and then we get back together. Then we're having, you know, a few weeks or a few months of bliss, and then we break up. And it's just a never-ending cycle. And may I add, you know, any guy that's going through this now that's hearing the story, you know, take proper precaution and truly hear me out, because this is not make-believe. You know, Tom didn't hire me. Adam didn't hire me to say any of this. This is the real deal. This happens every day, you know, in America. So, you know, again, yeah, we didn't have anything to bind us, except for the fridge that I gave her, probably. That's about the most expensive piece of property
but
that
she
I
She also came up with a whole lot of crazy claims about you, which are all in the record
right,
in the court
right,
thing, you know. She was saying that you had put a video camera in her bedroom where you were recording her.
Yes.
And
something
that,
like that. It was either a video camera...
Tom,
yeah, it was something that it was either
off the wall.
Yeah, that it was either oh, off the wall, that it was either a video camera or some sort of recording device or something of that matter that I put in her bedroom or living room or somewhere around her home, you know, which, again, she would do all of this, you know, she did this crazy stuff just to entice me, you know. I think what she really wanted, Adam and Tom, was that because of our relationship the way that it was before, she wanted me to break that TRO. She wanted me to contact her. She wanted me to go to her house so that she could get that final laugh.
Get you go to jail.
Bars of yeah. Being arrested.
Can you believe
exactly.
That?
Exactly.
I think that's true.
That's what you want.
All right,
that's
so let's talk about when we finally went to court, because this was a real interesting day.
Right. So, you know, the 30th, that's last Monday, it passes, and, you know, I show up to court, I meet Adam there, and, you know, I'm very nervous, of course, you know, because I'm thinking, you know, this is one of the most important days of my life. You know, it's as important as me graduating college, you know, but in a very negative sense, because it can impact me very, very negatively. So, you know, I show up, I see Adam, and I'm nervous, like I stated. I sit down next to Adam, and, you know, he's very calm and collective. You know, he tells me right away that we're going to beat this bitch. She has no chance. So right away, his demeanor put me in a more positive mood. You know, he, you know, was joking around a bit with me, you know, being very, very cordial, very, very, very nice. And it put me in a better sense of myself that I had made the right decision to hire counsel. So, you know, finally, you know, the court opens, we all shuffle in, you know, it's not just me and Adam, it's other people that have other TROs and criminal TROs and child support, you know, cases going on. So we all sit down, you know, at least I can say that everyone else was on time. Everyone else was there. We were on time. And, you know, the court proceedings continue. And as the time drags on, it's, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour. One whole hour, Tom, rolls around, and she finally shows up to court late, making a ruckus, you know, disheveled. You know, she goes to the bailiff, and I guess she presents herself that she's, you know, who she is, and, you know, she's here for this case. And right away, I don't know if Adam caught it, but I caught the judge, you know, making a face, you know, like who is this person to interrupt him while he's proceeding, how he has this proceedings going on. So she shows up with her boyfriend or lover, whoever the guy might be. God, it might be any number of boyfriends she's seen at any number of times. And, you know, she sits there, and Adam proceeds to, you know, tell me that he's going to talk to her. And so I say, okay, you know, fine. So I, you know, Adam, you know, shuffles through the back, and, you know, I guess she whispers something in her ear, and they go outside to talk in the hallway.
Now, tell Tom, before you tell him the end of that, tell him what else we were watching. What was happening to the other people in court that day? Because it was sad.
You know, it was very brutal, Tom. You know, during that whole hour that we were there, you know, I saw guys that had criminal TROs. You know, that their ex-girlfriend had filed against them. And, you know, and then we saw, you know, we saw guys that had massive child support bills to pay. I mean, these girls were like taking out dental bills, what was it, soft soccer bills, you know, and he has to pay this and he has to pay that. And the judge, you know, I mean, he has to be partial to the law. I mean, he seemed like a nice enough individual, but he had to be partial, Tom, and he was issuing these like massive amounts of money to these ladies, you know, and they weren't even the final say in terms of what the final child support would be. I think one guy was paying like around $1,300 a month, and then he had to go back to court again to finalize everything. I mean, these guys seemed just beating dogs, Tom. It was the worst thing ever. And it put light into my perspective. I was thinking, you know, I could have been that person. I could have been here sitting here having a child with this person with a TRO and paying child support, you know? It really opened my eyes to what the court system does to men and how America is in general towards men now. You know, we're used as doormats and as wallets.
We saw so many guys get screwed, and I got to tell you, it was just a regular day. It's totally normal. And some of those guys looked like they were going to be in tears practically, getting 50%, 60%, 70% of their salary taken away. I mean, that's just typical. I see that all the time. It's like nothing up.
Right. It was really brutal, Tom. And you know what? I'm going to give some advice to the guys out there. Because, you know, nobody wants to go to court. Nobody wants to go to court, you know, especially just for fun. But I really implore any guy that has the situation that I'm in, or any situation that you're actually dating or living with a woman, take a day off from work and go to court. Go to one of these family law courts and just sit there, right, Adam?
No one will
just
get sit there. And I think about anyone who's thinking about getting married, but no one would get married. They would just see it and they would say, "The hell with this! No way."
Right, and I really mean it, guys. Take a day off next Monday, next Tuesday, and just sit there. And just watch.
So remember, listening to the Tom Likas show will not be useful to you at all.
It's going to be very useful.
Exactly.
You have to move in with some crazy bitch and then go down to court when you get the TRO.
Right, exactly, Tom. You know what, Tom? And I'll say this. It's true what people say. You know, sometimes you do learn things from seeing other people, you know, problems, you know, other issues that people go through or hearing about it. And, you know, some people do pick up something. But then sometimes you have to truly go through it yourself to truly learn your lesson. And I have to say that I truly learned my lesson. And it didn't come out bad at all. I came out unscathed.
So hold on. Tell the rest of the story then. So I went outside to talk to her.
Right. So, you know, Adam goes outside to talk to her, and I'm in there, you know, still kind of fidgety, kind of nervous, but I feel that, you know, Adam has this. He comes back a few minutes later and, you know, he asked me to step outside with him. So, you know, I step outside with him and, you know, he takes me aside and he's telling me all these crazy things that she's saying about me, that I'm an alcoholic, that I'm abusive, that God knows what, that I was, I guess, sent them a letter or something in Spanish, that I was going to kill the guy, which I don't even know who this guy is up until that day that I saw him. And when the TRO was fired, I didn't even know this guy existed. You know, so, you know, she was making all these false accusations and false claims to Adam. And I guess Adam must have scared, you know, must have put the fear of God in her. Because I kid you not, Tom, I kid you not. We go back in, and she never comes back into the courtroom. Not once. So, right, Adam? So then another 30 minutes roll by, and we're like, you know, and me and Adam are like, what happened to this person? Did she get swallowed by the earth? So finally, they call our case, and lo and behold, she's not there. You know, even Adam goes and tries to find her before the case, and she's not there. And then the bailiff steps out and calls her name, and she's not there. So what happens? The judge, of course, dismisses my case, dissolves the TRO, and it's dismissed, and it's done, and it's out of my life. And I have to say that, you know, Adam did something there that she couldn't even get to the ring. She couldn't even get up to the ring to fight, Tom. She basically bitched out while, like, waiting for the fight to even start. And it was just the most amazing thing ever. And I'll say one more thing, Tom and Adam. And this is true, right, Adam? We were the only ones that our case got dismissed or that I didn't get my ass handed to. And that is the truth. Everyone else was getting their ass handed to them. Everyone else was showing up with a lawyer. I showed up there with counsel. I did what Adam said to do. He said, wear a suit, shut up, listen to me, don't talk, don't be emotional, do this, do that, to the T. I followed my end, and he did his end, and I came out unscathed. And I have the proof, and I know, you know, I have that proof to show that that is the truth.
Now, wait, let me understand. Yeah. Again, I've been listening to every word you're saying here. You came out unscathed. What was she asking for besides a TRO so you would leave her alone? What was she trying to get from you?
That was it, Tom. That's all she wanted.
This was something that really could have damaged his life, Tom. Having a restraining order against you means you can't have a gun.
Understood.
It flashes when the police pull you over.
Understood.
And without being too specific about what Tony does for a job, he would have lost his job.
Right.
It's not a joke.
Right.
Understood.
And there are a lot of jobs like that. But that's not the best part, okay? Not only did I put the fear of God into her that she just split, okay? That was beautiful. And he's right. And by the way, when he says the other people all lost, what he means to say is the other guys all lost. All right? It wasn't people. It was guys. Guys, one after another got screwed. But tell him the icing on the cake now, Tony.
Well, the icing on the cake, Tom, is that, you know, I was willing to let bygones be bygones and say, you know what, I had to hire Adam. He was well worth every single penny, and that is the truth, guys. So if you ever want to hire Adam, I guarantee you he's worth every single penny. But the icing on the cake was that, you know, Adam emailed me last night, and he's like, you know, we're going to get this bitch for the fee. So today he sent me paperwork that, you know, that basically shows that he's going to file a motion to recover my court costs. So,
wow.
There's that.
Rock yeah. on, man.
Love that.
Right, so since right. she lost, Tom, yeah. we're going after her for attorney's fees.
right.
Well, that's a tough one, no but matter, I'm going to give it a try.
Right. And you know what? And you know what, Tom? Even if we don't win, it doesn't matter. What matters to me is that she thought that, you know, the shoe was under their foot. You know, she was probably so happy and laughing it up. Ha ha ha, I got a TRO against them, right? Well, that's gone, right? Now she's going to be getting paperwork in the coming days that she's going to have to show up in court. I don't even have to show up. She's going to have to miss another day in court. She's going to have to worry like the way I was worried. She's not going to be able to sleep at night thinking I have to pay all these monies back to, you know, my ex. You know what I mean? So now it's her turn to sweat it out. Now it's her turn to suffer. You know what I mean, Tom? So hey,
I do.
Be careful who you fuck with, you know?
Wow. Now look at you. Now look how you turn around.
There you go. That's true, Tom.
Come on. Tom, the guy was depressed, okay?
Yeah, wow.
I mean, I was going through something. But you know what, Tom, let me add one more thing, because you did mention it earlier. You said what did she want from me? What did she want from me? And I think I'll tell you the truth, because, you know, once you know somebody for so long, you kind of get to know, they're snakes anyway, but you kind of get to know how a snake reacts, right? A cobra from a viper, I'm sure they're different. So I think what she truly wanted was to scare me, was to have me go crazy and contact her so she could have, like I said earlier, she could have that satisfaction of knowing that I went to jail, that she put me there, that I'm going through this because of her, you know? And she didn't get that satisfaction, and I think she was totally beaten. I mean, like we said earlier, she didn't even go up to the judge's bench to even show her case, not even to speak one word to the judge regarding this issue. She just left, like her tail between her legs. She was out of there.
Wow.
It was amazing.
All right. That's good.
It's truly amazing.
I think women are really spiteful. I think when you break up with them or they break up with you, they want you to die. They want your life ruined. The idea that you're continuing on without them or you're getting a new girlfriend, God forbid, or whatever the story is, they can't deal with that. And I've known lots of women right. that separated from a guy or got divorced, and they're the ones who broke it off. And they're like, good, screw him, SOB, blah, blah, blah. And then it gets back through the grapevine. He's dating some bitch who's 20 years old, who's slim. I don't believe it, you know? And I say, what do you care? You dumped him, you know? But I think when she did this to you, she wanted to see you go down the tubes. And
exactly.
I think if I hadn't been there that day, you would have been just another one of those guys getting screwed. And she just absolutely right. didn't see it coming.
Right, and yeah, and you know what, Tom, let me just add one other thing. That's so true. I didn't add that. You know, Adam was like a bulldog. My analogy is this. Adam was like a dog, a pit bull in South Central. You know, those junk, we should call him the junkyard, dog, because he was like a pit bull, you know? And it was that warning sign, beware of dogs, that scared her. She was so scared that she couldn't even go into the fence to fight, because she knew what was going to happen to her. She was going to get her ass handed to her. And I truly believe that if I wasn't there, that if Adam wasn't there, and I would have been up there with the judge, and you know what, I'm college educated, and as many other people are, you know, they can talk, they can do whatever, right? They're successful in their field. But if you're not a lawyer, if you don't know lawyer speak, you're not going to win. It's extremely rare, right? Because you
And a lot of people go into family court. Or they just go into court. They go in on their own. I'll just talk to the judge, right?
Exactly. They go in there thinking that they're going to be able to sweet talk the judge, and it doesn't work that way. If you want to win a case, or the best, you know, scenario for you to win, you need to hire proper counsel. And, you know, I'll say this again. One thing that Adam did very well that I really appreciated was that he sat with me, Tom. Everyone else who whoever had a lawyer, they were sitting next to the judge's bench. They were sitting next to the judge, you know, looking at their cases. Adam sat with me. He sat right next to me. And I think that that made me just feel so confident. And I noticed that, and I really appreciated that. And I have to say, Adam, I truly do appreciate that from you. That really put me in such a great spirit and mood that I thought, and the fit happening was that we won the case. You know, I really do appreciate that.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah.
All right, Tony, good call, a good outcome.
No joke, huh?
And you know, you spent some money on an attorney, and it paid off for you. As we tell everybody, that's the way it works.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Tom, one last thing before you let me go. Can you take me out African tribal style? But it's that like weird remix, like acid tribal style. I'm sure you know which one I'm talking about, right?
No,
you're killing Mikey now, man.
It's a very slow African tribal style acid remix or something.
Someone probably called in with that on Be Funny, but I don't think we had that. But we can take you out African tribal style. And we're gonna do it right now.
Baninge, 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 sofenza.
Baninge, 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 sofenza.
Botelenge, Africa mama.
Oya, botelenge, Africa mama.
Love that. All right, we're gonna take a break here. Is that what he was talking about? There's a bit somebody set in.
How did you find it that fast?
Wow. August of 2014.
Are you kidding me?
Unbelievable. Look how Timson pulled that out of his ass. Love that.
Mikey, you're too much, man.
Unbelievable. What, do we know the name
you
of that song,
machine.
By the way? Does it have a name?
I remember you once had a guy translate it.
We did. We had a guy from Africa call in and told us what the song was about.
I know it's from the documentary about yes. Muhammad Ali's fight.
Right.
But,
it was Joe Frazier, the thriller from Manila.
Manila. Right.
That was the Rumble in the Jungle.
It wasn't the Thriller in Manila?
No, Manila's the Philippines.
Yeah, I know.
It was Zaire or something like that.
Oh, all right. What do I know? Unbelievable.
I hate to correct you, Tom. I'm sorry.
You know what? I at the time, when you had to go to a movie theater and watch a closed circuit fight, guess what? I skipped out on that.
Not too bad.
Didn't watch that. All right. We'll take a break here with Adam Sachs. Adam Sachs is here in the guise of family law attorney Adam Sachs. If you've got family law type questions about separation, divorce, child custody, all right, child support, vagina money, prenuptial agreements, postnuptial agreements, or the good old-fashioned restraining orders like the one we just heard about, here's where you call right now and get your free legal advice. You call this number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're here at 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. In a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with family law attorney Adam Sachs. Well, you see, we're well into the 120s now with tickets sold for the Holiday Party from Hell. It's our third annual Holiday Party from Hell and our first one in Orange County at the Juke Joint on Anaheim Boulevard in Anaheim. It's Thursday night, December 10th from 8 p.m. until we're done, whenever that might be. Okay, so you'll enjoy $5 craft beers, cocktails, electronic dartboards, pool tables, P1's fans, friends, and listeners from all over North America who will be coming. This is our last chance of the year to get you guys to kick in to keep our show going in 2016, our free 24/7 live stream. You can get your tickets right now by going to holidaypartyfromhell.com, holidaypartyfromhell.com, or letmein.party. Don't forget, Triangle Billiards will be giving away pool cues, darts, dartboards, and more all night long. Visit them at TriangleBilliards.com. All right, your calls for Adam, 901-3000, Tom. That's our number, 901-3000, Tom. Here comes Will in Missoula, Montana. Will, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs.
Hello?
Hey, Will.
Is that a question or a statement?
just agreeing. Hi, Tom. Hi, Adam. My name is Will. I'm from Missoula, Montana. My job's fornication. Really twisted.
Are you on a cell phone or a speaker phone? We're having a hard time.
I'm on a cell phone.
You got to speak right into the phone, okay? Because we're having a hard time understanding you.
My situation is this. I had met up with this female. I'm just going to call her Valerie. We both worked for Delta Airlines at the time, and we fooled around and whatnot. She'd basically failed to mention me that she was married, and so I was going, along with this relationship as if she was a single woman.
And let me guess, Delta was ready when you were.
Right. at the time I was thinking everything was great, this and that. We talked all the time, every day or whatever. And then there came a point to where, we didn't talk much at all. And her friend, I'm going to call her Rhonda, came up to me. Rhonda didn't care for me much, but she thought that I needed to know this information. She told me, Valerie, she is married. She is pregnant right now.
Oh, my God.
She hasn't been with any other man other than her husband, and she hasn't had sex.
That's what she told you.
Right.
Don't forget.
Right. Okay. And
she told you that she never had sex with her husband for a long time.
Right.
She never said she had a husband.
Rhonda told me this. Valerie did not tell me this.
Right.
And I was a little concerned. If it's my child, I want to take care of my kid. So after work, I'd give her a call, and I told her, the strange man answered the phone, first of all, which I was already informed by Rhonda she was married, so I figured I knew who it was. And I'd asked, politely, and he was a very polite man. He gave the phone to Valerie, and I said, I gave her the story that Rhonda had given me, and she said, yes, I'm pregnant, it's not yours. So 9 years later, I get a paternity test, and, she was already out of sight, out of mind, so, I didn't really think of Valerie at all after that. So I took the paternity test. The kid did end up being mine. And we had went to a child support court and hearing and whatnot, decided on a base pay, and I was just so excited wanting to meet my son. I agreed to everything. And
everything except hiring a lawyer.
This is not about the money at all. So this is about you knowing your child. And I said, I completely understand. I'm excited for it. It's it's like Christmas to me. And we'd gotten out straight in the way after child support court and after the hearing and whatnot, and everything was great. I mean, I had a new girlfriend at the time. We'd call her Kelly. And, Valerie was married to this man. And everything was great. The two family factions got together, and we did things together as two family units. And everything was hunky-dory. Valerie's husband, he works out of town. So one night, Valerie, my girlfriend, was at work, and Valerie's husband was out of town working, and Valerie wanted to know if I wanted to see my little boy, and I said absolutely. So she come over, and we got to talking, and she brought up the what if question, basically.
What if it was yours? What if it was yours? What would you do if I told you it was yours? Is that what she said?
Yeah, I told her that. I noticed
tested.
Her demeanor completely changed towards me. I mean, nothing was hunky-dory anymore. In fact, it was almost like she was out to get me from that night on when I you know, rejected her offer. I was totally in love with this girl, Kelly. I didn't want to ruin that. And everything was going good, and I had noticed a few days after, I was seeing less and less, and even talking to my son even less. And I'm like, you know, what is going on? And so, you know, I just want to roll with the punches. I just went with it. And all of a sudden, I'm getting hit to go to court on this and that on child support. Well, the bottom line is that my life is not the same anymore. I can't even keep a career-level job anymore because I've been incarcerated from career-level jobs four different times, and it's embarrassing. I'm having to take these odds and end jobs under the radar and stay under the radar because every time I go and, you know, live my life, I fear being arrested. I mean, I've been incarcerated multiple times.
What are you being What are you being incarcerated for?
A child support. Every single one of them are child supports.
I have a criminal background.
In fact, every time I'm brought into a station, they're running my name and wondering, do we need to keep this guy? This guy's not a criminal. I'll give him a bond. And
how much do you owe?
I'm willing to $30,000 now. It's all on back child support.
Oh, God.
I'm doing my best.
The thing is, she was a married woman. And so that child would have been her husband's child no matter what. So there's no reason for you to be on the hook.
Had signed the birth certificate also.
So that's the reason I got subpoenaed to court. No, I know, but you did it all voluntarily without a lawyer. You needed to talk to a lawyer. If you owe $30,000,
right, yeah, I did. I was just very excited to see my kid.
No, I understand, but if you owe $30,000, they're going to compound interest on that. I mean, you're never going to get out of that. That's horrible.
Yeah, so I'm living my life, and I mean, there are some days, and it's getting so bad, there are some days that I don't want to wake up, you know, because my life's over. Jeez. I mean, I can't keep a real job anymore because I'm getting incarcerated every single time, and I don't have the money to hire a lawyer or legal representation.
No, you need a lawyer to make some kind of a deal with the support. See, they don't want to incarcerate you. They want you to get back on track and start being a regular paying father. And
right.
You know, you've already taken a lot of steps that I would have advised you against taking that were pretty suicidal. But you've already done them, and you've accepted this child as yours, even though you didn't have to. And apparently, biologically, it is your child, so that's okay. But the bottom line is...
And I want to take care of my dude.
No, that's very good, but you can't have it both ways. I understand, but listen a second. If you don't have a lawyer, they're just going to keep slamming you. You've got to have someone go negotiate with them. And you say, look, whatever the hell it is, we're going to pay $100 or $200 a month. They will accept that. What they won't accept is zero. That's why they're arresting you. Because you're blowing them off. It's just like dealing with the government when you owe taxes. The IRS will crucify you if you don't pay. But if you show them that you're at least making an effort and you're trying in good faith, then they will knock it off and they'll work with you. That's your mistake. And I can help you with that. Anyone can help you fix that. But you have to be in the position that you're working consistently and you're making consistent payments. Then you're A-OK. Mm-hmm.
I am working consistently. In fact, my best friend, he's actually my boss. He's the one who referred me to y'all. And I guess what I'm looking for is just some sort of direction on, like, maybe getting to talk to somebody who can work with me on some sort of payment plan.
That's the thing, you see. If you do that, then you're going to be okay. Well, the reason that you have these outstanding warrants and the reason they're garnishing your wages and putting the screws to you is because you're not making any payment. That's the problem. You've got to show them, look, I know I owe $30,000. Here's my plan for paying it back. And then they're going to be much more inclined to be reasonable, especially if you have a proper counsel doing the negotiation.
All right, so, Will, what we're going to do is we're going to put you on with Dean, and Dean is going to put you in touch with Adam, and we'll see what can happen here. All right, good luck.
These agencies, Tom, they're brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Mm-hmm. because collecting from guys like this, that's how they stay alive.
Yeah, but you see, he didn't even have to do it. The presumption at law is when a married woman has a child, whatever the story is, it's presumed legally to be her husband's child.
Right.
So this guy could have walked away. In a sick way, he actually wanted to do the right thing. He loves the child. It turns out the child's his, and so by being a good person, he gets screwed.
Yep. Unbelievable. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Adam will tell you how you can get in touch with him. Don't go anywhere.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show, a bonus hour from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. Adam Sachs, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can give me a call toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And you can email me, which I love, and I answer my emails personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, there you go, Adam Sachs. By the way, if you missed any part of the hour, maybe you're listening to a replay of the show or you're listening on demand, there'll be another bonus hour with Adam Sachs coming up Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
That's a strong motherfucker there.
We're brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer.
Yates.
Beer Magazine, new study shows that being a good-looking dude could actually hinder your career, especially when you're being promoted by another dude who might be threatened by your looks.
Well, this sounds like a broad thing, because I know they do that to each other all the time. They become
right.
Kind
you
of...
get all catty-ish. And,
right.
Yeah, right.
And they get scared.
They do get scared.
That's upsetting. I didn't expect guys to be like this.
Right.
What's the difference?
Yeah. And that's when you say, come to me, to the supply closet, and you'll no longer be as scared.
And this is University College London School of Management. So,
oh,
come on.
How you going?
That's, I has real. Guys that are good looking are perceived as a threat in the workplace. That's sad.
Certainly is. This is the first I'm hearing of this. So you promote the good-looking dude.
Right.
What happened?
The hell. They get the chicks, everything's fine.
Exactly. In their study, it says married guys get promoted more than single dudes.
Yeah.
Because they seem more responsible.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they have the children and the wife.
Is that why we are where we are?
Yes. We're not budging. None of us. Even Timpson.
Oh, God.
Nope.
Farrah Abraham says that James Dean, the porn star, drugged her, abused her, raped her.
So here's another one that came out and said that James Dean is on a rampage. Yeah.
Interesting shit. She says she didn't go to the cops because James Dean decided to settle the shit behind the scenes with his lawyers. And now she's coming out and throw him under the bus. He, by the way, giving his first extensive interview since this whole thing broke, he says he's completely baffled.
He
doesn't understand
doesn't
what these
understand
chicks are talking about.
What the hell's going on here?
He's like, hey, look, maybe I went a little too far on a couple of occasions. Sorry about that, but I don't understand what these broads are talking about.
She said at the time that she was considered vulnerable because she was going through a lot of shit in her life. Okay.
Yeah. If at any point I push boundaries past the point of comfort, I'm sorry. I've always tried to respect people's limits and safe words and operated within that space. If someone expressed anything to me, I honored the request with the fullest care. According to him, that sounds like a lawyer wrote that one up.
Exactly. Because there's no way she speaks like that, I don't think.
No. This is
oh,
what
him.
He's saying.
Oh, because it's so too confusing.
No, it's pretty clear. He's saying that all these broads are nuts. He played within the fucking boundaries.
Yeah, here's that safe word again, too, where he says he acknowledges
well,
it.
Well, sure.
So Obviously, lots of stuff is going on here. Our friend just doesn't have sex, it seems like, either. So he's involved in some pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah.
These girls, and now I think this is the fourth one to come forward. So something's going on here that's weird, but it could also be a cash grab. We'll find out.
Right. And in Jesus Christ, in Illinois, we got this male teacher banged a female student, 15 years old. He's 46. They banged once, by the way, in the back of his van. She doesn't remember the exact time that happened. There is evidence that they were texting back and forth. She texted him that she loved him on several different occasions. One time only.
Yeah.
How long do you think the guy's going to go to the camp? It hasn't happened yet. How long do you think he's going to go to the camp?
That sucks if it even happens at
they
all.
Say
no,
four to, they say 4 to 15 years.
Dude, that's unbelievable. Yeah. You know what? I mean, some people are able to kill people and get less time.
Right. But you know, if it was abroad, it would already be, and there'd be no chance of jail time whatsoever.
No. There'd be a congratulatory lunch, and everybody would have a good time.
Right. The victim now 21, by the way. And it's one of those things where she's not saying, look, he raped me. I was in love with him, she said.
Well, if you look at the emails,
she loved him in the text.
Yeah, says it.
Sometime between Christmas 2009 and March 1st, 2010, they banged once. Dude's going to be paying for that forever. By the way, he's got a girlfriend and a daughter.
Yeah, and this, I mean, just the whole thing, it just sucks. And it turns out it's a bowling coach, yeah. Which I think is awesome, but yeah. Sucks for him.
That's what you get for being a bowling coach. It's karma coming back at you. If you think that's a legitimate job, you deserve to go to jail.
Well, how dare you?
You have to touch anybody. You just have to put on the shoes and you go to jail.
Well, this is terrible because you have to admit that, during the 2009
and 10. Do you have little powder packets that he used before he...
He uses the air dryer.
He chalked up his hands
before
he did.
He uses the air dryer. That's all you need to know. He also had a blue globe ball, like one of those ones that look like the Earth. He had one
of
those.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So leave him alone.
Absolutely. In a monogrammed bag.
By the way, he did acknowledge that he had given the girl a ride to a bowling tournament
when she
asked.
Sure did.
But denied stopping at the bus barn on the way home.
How about we do it in the back of my van?
The victim did testify that they spent time making out in the van.
Right.
And then moved it to the back seat. And that's where he performed oral sex on her.
Finally, real quick, takes drunk driving to a whole new level. A New Jersey state trooper admitting driving drunk during an on-duty crash. He rear-ended somebody. He was shit-faced drunk. On duty.
Let me tell you how
terrifying.
Does
he get any more buttoned up than the fucking New Jersey state troopers?
Yeah. They have the hats, right?
They got the hats and the boots, the hats, the whole deal.
And the suspenders, too. Yes. I can't stand it, man. It drives
no
me crazy.
Douchier organization than them.
But
Jesus
it is funny
Christ,
to watch the video of him in the back of the squad car wearing the uniform.
Yes,
it's
it
awesome.
Is. Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
A blue globe ball.
Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find a brand new show every single Friday. GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
It's still a goddamn duck.